Good morning and welcome back. It's Jordan Miller here on News Talk 1480 WHBC. Thanks for tuning in. On this Monday morning, we are continuing our conversation about Roe v. Wade and the decision that the Supreme Court made to overturn this in a landmark reversal Friday morning. Some people agree with it, some people don't. On the line with us right now is an organization that they couldn't wait to get their statement out Friday morning. It was in our email before we even broke the news on air, I feel like. And that is the Ohio Right to Life organization. On the line with us right now is the Director of Communications, Elizabeth Whitmarsh. Elizabeth, how are you this morning?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. Thanks for coming on. So when you guys get this news on Friday, what's the reaction like? I'm sure you guys were extremely overwhelmed. Walk us through when you got the news Friday.
Yeah, so when I got the news on Friday, I was actually down in Atlanta for the National Right to Life Conference. So quite the timing. And I was in my hotel room, and the same as every other day that the Supreme Court announced that they're going to release opinions, I was frantically refreshing my page on my laptop every 10 minutes. And at 10:10, I refreshed the page, and I saw Dobbs come across my screen. And at first it took a second. I didn't even realize it. And then once I realized that Dobbs is right there on the screen, I gasped, I dropped my phone, and I immediately called my boss, our president, Mike Gunatakis, and spoke to him about the decision. I mean, it's completely overwhelming. I cried all day in joy. This is just truly a historic moment that we're living through and such a win for human rights.
Have you been someone who was always anti-abortion?
Yes. I grew up in a very conservative household, and from a young age, I was taught the science of embryology and the science of what happens from conception on, and my parents did a very good job at teaching me that. My older sister also has quite the pro-life story. When she was 18 and I was 15, she got pregnant, and it was a very difficult situation, but she chose life, and I saw that she was able to overcome certain situations. And now my nephew, he turns 14 on July 8th, and oh my goodness, I couldn't imagine life without him. No matter how hard the situation has been at certain times, and no matter what struggles, I would never give up a life without Josiah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, I'm the product of a young pregnancy. My mom had me when she was 16, and I'm glad that, you know, I'm here today, you know, having this conversation with you. But I also understand how hard it was. Now, I got to ask, did your sister with your nephew have a lot of support in the home?
Well, yes, my parents absolutely stood by her. But my parents are, I mean, I grew up in a very Christian household. And so, I mean, it was absolutely taboo to have, you know, premarital sex, let alone have a pregnancy come from that. And so it was very difficult. My sister was extremely scared to tell my parents and to tell the world and go to church and show that she's pregnant at 18. But obviously, yes, my parents did stand beside her. They did help her every step of the way once we got past, you know, the shock of hearing that happened. And so yes, fortunately, she did have the support.
Well, that's great, because Elizabeth, there's a lot of people out there who they don't have any support. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know that.
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think that's really where our work begins, is we need to step up as a community. This is a true opportunity for us to step up as a community, as churches, as neighborhoods, and say no more. These people who need help, these women and children who need help, they need us, and it's time for us to stand next to them. We don't need the government to do it. We can take a stand next to them and give them the support that they need.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I understand your stance on it. I have to ask, do you believe that there should be any exceptions when it comes to abortion?
Well, I think in order to answer that question, we have to first and foremost answer the question of what is an abortion. And scientifically proven, it's shown that the unborn child is a human life from the moment of conception. From the moment of conception, it has its own DNA, its own eye color, hair color, everything is decided right then and there. And so with that, you have to ask, is there ever an appropriate time or reason or justification to take an innocent human life, or is that always murder? And the answer to that, as Americans, we absolutely reject the notion that certain human lives are okay to kill and certain human lives are not. And so with that, I do not support any exceptions. However, I do 100% support a doctor fulfilling his Hippocratic oath to save a life that's right in front of him in having a difficult situation trying to save the life of the mother. That's not abortion. That's something very different. That's a life-saving act rather than a life-taking act.
Okay. Well, I'm glad that you said that, because a lot of my listeners, they believe that even then, no abortion, they'd rather see two lives gone instead of just the child gone, which to me is a ridiculous notion. Now, Elizabeth, I've got to ask you, where do you stand on, or where does Ohio Right to Life stand on rape victims wanting to get an abortion? I mean, do they have to go through the trauma of being raped and then now go through the trauma of carrying a child that their attacker left in them for 9 months?
Mm-hmm. Great question. And I think it goes back to that first question that I mentioned, which is, what is abortion and what is it in the womb? And if it's a human life, then the violent act that woman just went through, the sexual assault that just violated her, is terrible. We need to stand beside that woman. We need to hold the perpetrator to the full extent of the law, the fullest extent, and hold him accountable and punish him. But that new human life that was created should not have to pay for the crimes of their father. And so at Ohio Right to Life, we don't think that someone's life and their worth and dignity and right to life is dependent on the way in which they're conceived. We believe that every human, no matter how it's conceived, has that foundational, fundamental right to life. And ending that life is not going to take away the trauma that woman went through. It's not going to heal her. If anything, it's going to add on to the violence that she already experienced.
Yeah,
and so we want to walk beside her.
Have you carried any children?
I have not.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure if you speak with any mother, obviously this is just me speaking. I haven't gone through that miracle that it is to be able to carry a child. But I would think that, you know, your body is put through enough trauma throughout a pregnancy, and for women, especially if they're raped, now they've got to carry that for 18. They've got to carry that burden for 9 months, but then 18 years. 18 years. If they choose to keep the child and not give it up for adoption, they look at it and think every day of that moment, whether it was 30 seconds, whether it was 30 minutes or hours long, they have to think about it. So I believe that, yeah, personally, I believe that a woman, if they are a victim of rape, that they should have the right to an abortion.
And yeah, a lot of people share that same sentiment. So I definitely understand where you're coming from. But if we're going to be logically consistent, and if we say that this is a human life in the moment of conception, scientifically, like it's proven, then we have to ask ourselves, is it okay to kill a human life just because their father committed a crime? And I don't think that that's ever okay. And if you talk to women who have given birth after rape, they don't see their newborn child as a reminder of that violent act. If anything, they see it as a new hope, as a turning point where they can now raise this new life that's with them. And of course, it's not to downplay the trauma that will come from that. We just spoke about, you know, how my sister went through troubles raising, you know, my nephew starting from 18. And so obviously there's going to be trauma, but killing a human life is never the answer to getting out of problems, right? There's just no way to justify taking an innocent human life.
So you have to disagree then with Ohio's heartbeat pill, right? I mean, that's 6 weeks old, or that is the heartbeat pill is when a woman is 6 weeks pregnant, not you know, time of conception, I mean, there, Ohio technically is still going to grant an abortion up to 6 weeks. I mean, Ohio Right to Life, then, if that's your stance, has to disagree with that.
Yes. Yeah, so at Ohio Right to Life, we definitely agree that the heartbeat bill or heartbeat law now is not enough, which is why we have the Human Life Protection Act currently working through the House right now. And the Senate president and the Speaker of the House have both committed to getting this bill passed by the end of 2022. And the governor has given us confidence that he will sign it as soon as it's on his desk. And what that bill does is that will effectively end abortion from the moment of conception.
Okay. And contraceptives, do you think that those should be banned? Where's Ohio Right to Life stand on that? Do you believe that contraceptives should be allowed, or do you think everyone should just get pregnant from having sex?
No, we are absolutely for couples taking proper measures to prevent pregnancy. There's a very big distinction between preventing pregnancy and ending a human life once it's already created. And so we are absolutely in support of taking wise measures to be responsible and prevent pregnancy from happening. We aren't interested in taking away anybody's contraception. What we're interested in is ending the practice of abortion, which takes a human life.
Mm-hmm. You, as a woman, I'm sure you can understand how scary it is that, you know, Justice Clarence Thomas is saying that the Supreme Court should possibly revisit contraception access. I mean, wouldn't that scare you?
Well, I think first and foremost, it's important to mention that Clarence Thomas's opinion was not the majority opinion. Nobody signed on to that with him. And so that's very, very, very extremely unlikely to get any kind of traction within the next 50 to 100 years. I don't think that anybody would even touch that with a 10-foot pole. However, I do want to clarify that he wasn't saying in his opinion that we should ban abortion, that states should take away the right for abortion. What his point was is that the reasoning that those decisions were made, it should be revisited. And like I said, I'm not saying I agree with his opinion. I just want to add some clarification that nobody is calling for the confiscation of contraception.
Okay. I would hope not. I would hope not, because, I mean, people in 2022, they are, you know, having sex, they're having it younger. Mm-hmm. Contraceptives, you know, if you don't want abortions, you know, let someone have a contraceptive, because to me, that's a double-edged sword. If we say, you know, no more abortions, but hey, no more contraceptives. And the fact that people think like that, to me, is so radical, and it blows my mind. Elizabeth, I wish we had more time, but I appreciate you coming on, and I hope you have a great day, and I hope we can talk to you again in the future if anything else is passed here in Ohio.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me on. I would love to be back.
All right. Give me a call. Let me know your thoughts on Roe v. Wade, 330-450-1480. We'll be right back. We're live and local. I'm Jordan Miller.